Good evening, Rabosai. Be'ez Hashem, we are approaching Sukkot Abba Aleinu L'Tova, and probably the most common, all the Sukkot Shailas, in terms of how to build a Sukkah, they're asked once and they're decided. I have a Geshmak, a Sukkot Shaila today. Somebody was just pointing out to me, oh, Rabbi Orlin, you want to hear what my friend just thought of? She figured out that it's probably much cheaper and more convenient, instead of buying all those, you know, pieces chach, which is so much stuff, she could just buy a few pieces of lattice, and put the lattice on top, and it will, they're big pieces, they're easy to, they're just put 3, 4, 5 sections of lattice, and then you're good for your sukkah. So I said, it sounds really creative, it sounds very cost-effective, but it might be puzzle. Tell her to ask a rabbi. So those kinds of shailas, the lattice is one big piece. If it's a piece that's wider than dalet tfachim, there's an issur d'rabbanan called gzeras nesarim. So lattice may or may not be also because it has spaces in the middle. Something to think about. Not for now. Okay. If you have a shayla with a sukkah, it's a kosher, it's not, you pass the shayla and it's over. However, what I want to talk about now is a shayla that comes up numerous times, could be numerous times a day over the course of sukkahs, in terms of what is permitted to be eaten in and out of a sukkah. We're not going to get into the meat as far as exactly which items, Chachamim were mechayev as far as, Torah was mechayev as far as pasva bekisnin, how much dough one has to eat, what's the halacha for bread and doughs. I'm not going to get into the dough aspect because that's a lot of discussion in the Achronim. We're not talking about that. But let's look at some background and we'll come out with certainly a number of interesting shitos before we actually end up finding what to do l'maisa. So the Gemara in Sukkah says, the Mishnah in Sukkah, Daf Chav Zayin Amud Aleph says, look at the Mishnah, Rabbi Elazar Omer, how many meals do you have to eat in the Sukkah? Rabbi Elazar says, we don't pass like Rabbi Elazar, I think we don't. Arba Esrei Seudos Chayav Adam Lachol B'Sukkah, Achas B'Yom Achas B'Layla. There's 7 days of Sukkah in Eretz Yisrael, Midoraisa, to a day that's 14 meals are required to eat in the Sukkah. Then the Gemara brings an opinion, maybe it's the same opinion, maybe it's not the same opinion. This is the line we really need. Let's say you missed the first night of Sukkot. You're supposed to eat in the Sukkah. The first night of Sukkot, you just blew it. You fell asleep. You didn't eat in the Sukkah. Yashlim leila yontav ha'achron shel chag. You should do tashlumin and eat on the last night. Maybe it means Shmini Atzeres because you missed the first night of Sukkot. It's very weird. First of all, it's a different holiday. Second of all, how in the world do you do Tashlumin? If you didn't blow Shabbat for Rosh Hashanah, you should like blow on Purim. Right. If you didn't eat matzah the first night of Pesach, you should eat matzah after Pesach. That's a code name for Shmini Atzeres. Yeah, and even if it wasn't, let's say it was the seventh night, the night Leil Hashanah Rabbah, right when our Hasidim are reading Mishnah Torah and all. So still, how do you do? You missed the first night, so you're going to do it the last night. That's not what the Torah says. Okay, so that the Gemara discusses, we're not going to discuss. What I want to focus on is the word yashlim. You should make it up on the last night of Sukkot, whenever that is. What does it mean to make it up? Gemara asks the Gemara, mashlim b'mai, with what should you make it up? Elim b'rifta, if you're going to eat it with, if it's bread, you're going to make up that first meal that you missed with bread. Seuda, d'yome ka'achal, you're just eating the regular meal of the day. Nothing is special for Sukkot. The next line is what we need. Elamayash, don't worry about the havamina. The focus is going to be the next line. Elamayashlim, yashlim b'mini targima. You should make up that first night that you missed by eating mini targima. I will translate the word mini targima as a dessert, something special, something extra that you wouldn't typically have, something special. Look how Rashi translates the word mini targima. La'achar shesilek, after you clear off the table, Yaviu parparaos, desserts, uma'adanim, and delicacies, lefanav, something special, right? It's not just your meal on the last night or the last night of Sukkot or Shmini Atzeres meal. You have something additional, extra, to make up for your missed meal on the first night of Sukkot. For example, it could go in peros. For example, peros or kisnin, that's like cookies. The kaplutos mevushalos. Kaplutos mevushalos are delicious, delicious. What? What are kaplutos? It doesn't really matter. I have no idea. We don't know what kaplutos are. But either way, they're delicious. I'd like to think that it's baklava, because I just happen to like baklava, and it sounds like kaplutos are probably baklava. It's my guess. Now, with that in mind, we're going to get into the sugya of what has to be eaten. Now, that wasn't really the Mishnah that told us about what you eat in the sukkah, what you don't eat in the sukkah. That was just a side point. But that side point is going to come into play in 3 minutes. Says the Beis Yosef in the halachas of Yeshivas B'sukkah, says the Beis Yosef, the obvious point, Aval Peire lo ba'i sukkah, right? The Beis Yosef is commenting that, of course, bread you have to eat in a sukkah, but fruit you don't have to eat in a sukkah. Ki the maskinu b'yom, like the Gemara, I didn't quote the Gemara because the Gemara is very complicated. They're like different back and forths. The keva of fruit, kachilas aray de pas. So even if you have a whole fruit platter, you know, you go into Seasons and you buy one of those $79 fruit platters, a big one, and you have the whole platter, that's only like a snack of bread, a bread snack. That's just, that's what peres are. Ah, v'Rabbi Meir, Rabbeinu Meir, haya nizhar milech al peres chutz l'sukkah. He wouldn't eat fruit outside, he wouldn't eat an apple outside the sukkah. Ki haya sover lahachmir, ki hay lishna de pei ba'i sukkah. That Gemara Yuma that we quoted 2 lines up, that said that fruit are never, even if you eat a lot of them, it's always like an achilas arai. Well, there's another opinion that says, you do need to eat a fruit in the sukkah. Mihu, concludes the Beis Yosef, nira demucha chasam, dafili peri ba'i sukkah, even if you hold that fruit do need a sukkah, again, we don't assume that. But even if you hold the fruit in a sukkah, but how much fruit? Hainu kishokovea atzmo la'achilas peros. That's only if you're having a meal out of fruit. You're on a diet, so your lunch is an avocado, a banana, a fruit salad, and that's going to be your lunch. Vashmi'inan, and this additional chumrah, is dekevdi tu havi ka'achilas aray de pas. But if you're having a snack of fruit, definitely, you're just eating an apple, you're just eating a pear, a peach, you definitely don't have to eat in the sukkah. L'chuliyam, even according to this opinion, who's machmir in fruit, he's only machmir in fruit if it's a full kviyas of fruit. What did we see? What we just saw is that there's at least one opinion, maybe we don't go like it, but there's at least one opinion who says that if you are koveya on fruit, it should be eaten in the sukkah. There's one opinion like that. Fine. Next opinion. Rabbeinu Peretz Kazav, Davka Peri Laboy Sukkah. This line will blow you away. Fruit, we said, is not chayv in a sukkah. Aval basar ugvina barmi piri. But if you're going to have salmon, you're going to have a cheese platter, you're going to have a steak, you're going to have some grilled chicken, ba'i sukkah. That does need sukkah. Where does he get this from? Kida amrinan, the Gemara that we saw 5 lines up. Hishlim v'mini tagima yatza. You remember the Gemara talked about what should you have if you miss the first night of Sukkot? What should you eat on that last night of Sukkot? Something special, something additional, something more than just a regular meal? Said you should have with mini tagima. Umini tagima. What does mini tagima mean? Hainu basa v'chayotze bo. Deloka pirish Rashi. Not like Rashi that we saw above in the italics in source number 2. Shapir Shtimir Tagim Hainu Peire. Rashi says that you should bring something extra, you should have fruit. He says no, Mini Tagim doesn't mean fruit. The Peri Loba Yisuka. Let's talk about this for a second. Now let's put everything together. I know what we just did was a little bit complicated. Well, not complicated, but just confusing because you know where I'm going. Let me show you something. The Gemara in Chavzayin Amar Aleph, in source number 1, said if you miss doing the mitzvah of Sukkah the first night, make it up with Mine Targima. What does Mine Targima mean? Rashi said, the first thing that he said meant desserts, for example, fruit. Let's stop there. According to Rashi, if you miss Sukkah the first night, how should you make up that mitzvah Sukkah that you lost? By eating? Fruit. It must be, if you're trying to fulfill, what mitzvah are you trying to do? Sukkah. Fulfill the mitzvah Sukkah that you lost the first night, you're going to make it up now by what? By eating fruit. Obviously, Rashi holds that what? That fruit is required to be in a sukkah. Wow, Shita's Rashi is that fruit needs to be in a sukkah. Comes this Rabbeinu Peretz is the Sefer, is the Smag, I don't know the Smag or the Smak, Sefer Mrs. Ketanus, I don't remember which one, and he says, no, Rashi, you don't know how to learn. Mini Tagima doesn't mean fruit. Fruit are putted from a sukkah. What does Mini Tagima mean? Look at the paragraph in number 3, the third paragraph, number 3. Rabbeinu Peretz kasev dafka peri labaisuk aval basar ugvina. Besides, period, that is a fulfillment of hishlam v'minei targima. Meaning when it said targim, it not doesn't mean fruit, it means basar, vidagim, ugvina. So according to Rabbeinu Peretz, his explanation of the Gemara that says you're going to make up the meal that you missed, that first meal of Sukkah that you missed, you're going to make up mini tagima. How does he tie mini tagima? With meat or chicken or cheese, which is more of a, what we nowadays would call a main course. In the olden days, obviously, main courses was bread, and everything else was in addition to bread. But this opinion, Rabbeinu Peretz says, okay, fruit you don't have to eat inside, but chicken, yogurt, that's like kvina. Salmon, a piece of meat. Somebody here asked me, I think one of the people in this room asked me, if somebody's in an apartment building, they have to go all the way up or all the way down to have their su'uda on Sukkos. So is it okay if you avoid having mizonos, which is, you know, a kibetz of mizonos actually, which is what is the real chiyuv of eating in a sukkah, right? We only say a leishev if you have a kibetza, a little bit more than a kibetza of mizonos. Okay, cookies, noodle, pasta, oatmeal. So I told him, you're right, you only make a leishev sukkah on it, but if you're having a full meal, even of things that don't have any mizonos, just salad, a soup, let's start with this. You have a fruit salad to start. Then you have a soup. Then you have grilled chicken. Then you have some grilled roast vegetables. Then you have ice cream for dessert. Part of ice cream, right? So you didn't have mizonos. Should be mutter, right? Well, according to Rashi, it sounds like even the fruits had to be eaten in a sukkah. According to Rabbeinu Peretz, he's more makel. He says, no, fruits you don't have to, but
meat,
cheese, fish, all that stuff you do have to eat in the sukkah. So that's interesting. It's not what we always thought. So I told him that, no, you shouldn't eat that meal. Even though you're not having any mizonos, you shouldn't eat that full meal. And the sukkah will actually say that is actually passed into the Mishnah Berurah that nobody knows about. If you turn to source number 9, and now you're going to appreciate where the Mishnah Berurah comes. Now we're going to talk halacha l'maaseh mamash, Mishnah Berurah that nobody knows about. Mishnah Berurah, source number 9. I mean, he doesn't say you must, but he says, Nachan lahachmir. This is Mishnah Berurah in Tafresh Lamed Tes, Sifkatan Tesvav. Nachan lahachmir milachol, you should avoid eating basar v'dagim v'gvina chutz l'sukkah. V'davka b'kfiyas, that's if you're making it into a meal. Aval shalo b'kfiyas, if you're just having, a yogurt just to tide you over between meals, or you're just having a chicken drumstick just to tide you over, you're having a little piece of grilled chicken just to, as a snack, but not as a real meal, that's em l'hachmir klal, that's fine. But if you're having a full meal, even though it's Amazonas, that's going to be taka, something to be avoided. Okay, so let's continue. Now that we have some background in the Rishonim, as far as fruit don't have to be eaten, but maybe they should according to Rashi and according to Rabbeinu Peretz, maybe fruit don't have to be eaten in the sukkah, but other things like gvina and dagim and basar do have to be eaten in the sukkah. Let's go straight to the Shulchan Aruch on the bottom of page number 1. Tafresh Lamed Tes Sif Beis. Says the Shulchan Aruch, Ochlim v'shosim yishenim b'sukkah kol shiva. Of course, you have to eat in the sukkah day and night. We're not going to get into sleeping. That's not for tonight. On top of page 2, Aval mutu le'achol achilas arai chutz l'sukkah. Shulchan Aruch says, Rabbi Fine, right? Explicit Shulchan Aruch, you're allowed to eat at achilas arai outside of the sukkah. V'kama achilas arai kibetza mipas. Meaning, don't get this wrong, a kibetza is mutter to eat outside. That's still arai. More than a kibetza of pas, that's going to be a problem. So if you have a granola bar, if you're going on a Yechol Moed trip, a granola bar might be just okay. Two granola bars might already be a problem, but a granola bar might be fine. If you have a rugalach, one rugal is fine outside of the circle. Once you have two rugalach, that's already, could be closer to kibetza. Fine. Umutur lishtos mayim v'yayin. Yayin, we're not going to discuss. It's a very long discussion among the Achronim. V'lechol peros afilu kava alayhu chutz l'sukkah. Peros you could eat as much as you want outside of the sukkah, even if you're kaveh on it. Who's that against?
Rashi.
That's against Rashi, because Rashi on the previous Amud said that fruit is the meaning, targima means fruit, and that's how you're going to fill, make up your meal that you missed. So it sounds from Rashi that peros would be chayiv in a sukkah. However, there is the famous Mishayach Mir al Atzma, V'lo yishtachutz l'sukkah afilu mayim. Harei meshubach, Rabbi Fine. That's your meshubach. Okay, we're not going to get into why it's meshubach that I spoke about between Mincha Marav tonight. But the Be'er Halacha says something interesting. Let's talk about a yogurt. Let's talk about an apple. Let's talk about one rugel. Let's talk about a salad. Not a whole meal. Says the Be'er Halacha, if you're a real Talmud Chacham, you're a real Ben Torah, should you indeed, is it not proper to eat it outside? I'm not talking about a cup of water. Forget a cup. A cup of water, you only have to be, only the tzaddikim, you know, the real Yerei Shemayim do that. I'm talking about, you know, yogurt. So for your Talmud Chacham, should you avoid that? Says the Be'er Halacha something very interesting. Quotes the Ran, Afil Talmud Chacham, im rotze shelo lahachmir al yedei al atzma bekach, Rasha, if you don't want to be machmir, you're a Talmud Chacham, you want to eat a yogurt outside of the sukkah, that's fine. It doesn't make you into an Eino Medaktik B'mitzvos. Yes, if somebody wants to eat a yogurt outside, dafka in the sukkah, we'll say, beautiful, kadosh yamar lo. It's a great thing, harei meshubach. But that doesn't mean that somebody who doesn't do that, I mean, if you're even a Talmud Chacham, he's still called a Medaktik B'mitzvos, even if he's not, even if he's eating his yogurt outside. That's still okay. You eat a salad outside the sukkah, you eat a fruit outside, so you're still a Medaktik, you're still a Talmud Chacham, you're still a Medaktik B'mitzvos. Okay, there's aremes, other people might be more careful than you, but that's fine. There's nothing wrong with what you did. You don't have to question yourself, even a Talmud Chacham. Now, yeah, we're not going to talk about Chamesh Yasmin. That's a little bit of a different discussion. Yeah, I want to talk about Chamesh Yasmin for a second. The Shulchan Aruch says, Tashal Atzmi Chamesh Yasmin, Min Kova Alei Alav Chashiv Keva V'tzarech Sukkah. If you're Koveya on Chamesh Yasmin Dagan, grain, then you have to eat in a sukkah. So that means this. Typically, when we have enough pasta babakisnin, you have enough cookies, enough entomans. I haven't seen entomans in a long time, I don't know why. If you have enough cookies to be kaveh suda, you have to wash and bench on it. Right? How much do you have to have? Dalet beitzim, gimel beitzim, dalet beitzim, machlokas. If you have two large danishes from any of bakeries around you, two large danishes, you have to wash and bench on them. That's the halacha. Now, what you have uniquely by sukkah is that it's not, that's only by pasuk b'kisna. What happens if you have seven bowls of oatmeal? Or you have, you take a can of, not a can, you take a box of noodles, you boil it up, and you make yourself a plate of noodles that's like a whole, like a half a pound of noodles. It's enough to feed a small army. Do you have to wash and bench? No. Because only pasuk b'kisna, like cookies, cakes, crackers, pies, pizza, there, if you have enough of it, you have to wash and bench. But that's only because it's a tzuras hapas. It has a form of a pastry form, a bread type of form, like a cookie, cake, pie, and the like. However, if you have noodles, which are not baked, if you have oatmeal, which is not, there's no tzuras hapas at all, then there's never kviyas tzuda, and you never have to wash and bench on oatmeal, no matter how much you eat. Farina, oatmeal, wheatina. Cereals. You could have a huge amount of cereals, and there's a lot of wheat flakes, raisin bran. You could have a huge amount, you could have a whole box of wheat bran, of a raisin bran, you're never going to have to wash and bench. However, when it comes to achilas sukkah, the din of achilas keva is as long as you have a kibetza of any five of the five grains, even if it's oatmeal, even if it's farina, even if it's boiled noodles, even if it's raisin bran. So Rabosai, if you have one bowl of raisin bran in the morning, most people's bowl of raisin bran or Cheerios that they have in the morning is probably a kibetza worth of mezonos. That is medina, absolutely medina, chayev to be eaten in a sukkah, and you would even recite a yoshev a sukkah on that kezias. Even though if you would have lots of bowls of this, you wouldn't have to wash and bench on it. Here the din is not possible kisim, but rather it's any tavshil ha'asim mechamisha saminim. Now, we have an interesting chumrah that I want to share with you. Very fascinating chumrah, and I want to make like three more points tonight. When we have this heter of achilas arai, you're allowed to eat, again, let's talk about a yogurt, an apple, a pear, a banana outside the sukkah. Why is it mutter? Why is it mutter? Yeah, why when I'm not kaviyah suda is it mutter? Why is that? Why is the requirement a kaviyah suda? I would have said, this is what I would have thought, that the Torah says teshu ketaduru, teshu, that it has to be a yeshiva. A certain amount of yeshiva is what's necessary. And a banana is not called a yeshiva, so therefore you don't have to eat a banana in a sukkah. So the Mishnah Berurah says not like I just said. Look at the Mishnah Berurah.
Which one?
It's right above number 6. The Mishnah Berurah is right above number 6. When he talks about achilas arai, the Mishnah Berurah says, again, right above source number 6, this is the Mishnah Berurah, Sifkat Yud Beis. Dezeh lo choshev l'chayvo b'sukkah. If you have achilas arai, again, talk about a banana, it doesn't obligate you to eat a sukkah. Why? Da'af b'beiso matzoi sha'ochal arai chutz l'beiso. Because even when it comes to my house, I have to sit in my sukkah like I sit in my house. Even when I sit in my house, I'm not careful about eating bananas in my house. I eat bananas on the go. I eat bananas while I'm driving to work. I eat bananas while I'm, waiting for the train. So since I eat a banana, I'll eat a banana on the LIRR. So since I'll eat a banana on the way, so since that's how I do it, I'll eat a banana outside my house. So also, I could eat a banana outside my sukkah. If that's the case. So again, it's not that a banana is not choshev enough to be considered a yeshiva besukkah. That's not the lamdus. The lamdus is that I would do it out of my house. I could do it out of my sukkah also. If that's the case, Rav Shlomo Zalman comes up with a wild chumrah I never heard of and I never saw before. Look at this chumrah of Rav Shlomo Zalman in source number 6, in Halicha Shlomo. He says, let's say you're outside talking, you're on the grass in front of your neighbor's house. Are you allowed to drink a cup of water on the porch in your next door neighbor's house, two doors down, on the front grass in his backyard? I would say, of course you're allowed to drink water outside a sukkah. Well, of course, we know that. It's mutter. Unless you're, if you want to be machmer, raise a meshubah. Well, of course it's mutter. Says Rosh Shlomo Zalman, based on the logic we just said, Hanimtza samach l'sukkah. You're nearby your sukkah. You have to go into your sukkah even to drink water if you're ready, if you're standing next to your sukkah. Why? Because what happens when you have somebody, if you're right near your house and you want to get a drink, will you drink it outside or will you drink it inside? Will you, if you have a knapsack and in your knapsack you had a can of Coke and you're standing like two doors from your house, you're going to open up your can of Coke and drink it two doors away from your house on your next door neighbor's lawn? Or are you going to go inside and take a cup and drink your Coke inside the house? Says Rav Shlomo Zalman, maybe he's just very more refined than we are, but says Rav Shlomo Zalman, if something is the type of scenario, he's saying it's completely relative to the scenario. Even if something as simple as arai, as water, if you're going to have water in a place where normal people would typically just go inside, just two doors down, next door, you're in your backyard. If you're in your backyard, you're not just going to drink in your backyard, you go into the kitchen and drink in your kitchen. Says Rav Shlomo Zalman, if that's the case, then you don't have the svar of the Mishnah Berurah, you don't have that svar of that, I don't eat in my house, so I don't have to eat in my sukkah either. If it's something that you would specifically eat in your house, because you're so next to your house, you're so close to your house, you typically sit down at the kitchen table and drink it or eat it, then you'd be obligated to eat it in a sukkah too. Wild chumrah.
Don't people eat on the front porch or back porch outside?
Yeah, so maybe that's considered party house. Yeah, yeah, I think that would be. I mean,
there's a story about Mr. Reichman, who was next door about 2 years ago.
Uh huh.
That he was sick, and his son was ministering to him with his needs. He said he'd like him to drink, so he brought him a bottle of water. Came back about 10 minutes later, drank out of the bottle of water. I always had a glass.
Wow.
Now I'm going to drink out of the glass.
Wow, very nice.
So there are such people.
Very impressive. Okay. So I want to clarify one more point. I want to know. 1 second, love. I want to know. Okay, I want to point out another Rav Shlomo Zalman who is going to follow his Svara L'shitasei and make the same point in a different regard. Nowadays, there are lots and lots of people who are gluten-free. Every third guest we have, especially by girls, they're gluten-free. Okay? And gluten-free.
Oh.
They don't have regular celiac, gluten-free, they don't have wheat, they're allergic, they're sensitive, they're whatever. Okay? So what happens if you have somebody who doesn't eat chamesh minei dagan all year long? Right? We have a number of guests who, when we had guests before, that when I make, you know, hamotzi and challah, she doesn't eat challah because it's not good for her system, and she'll eat everything else, just not the challah, not the noodle kugel.
Would she do a Pesach?
What? Pesach, she has the tiniest kazayas of one time tiny kazayas. Instead of three times like we have, and gigantic kazayas and double kazayas, she'll have one. That's not for now. Yeah. So says Rav Shlomo Zalman, let's think about the logic. What? Yeah, spelled. Oh, some people even have issues with that. Okay, so we could find more lenient shitas for them to rely on. Says Rav Shlomo Zalman, let's say all year long how are you kaveh suda? You're never kaveh suda on wheat or bread or mezonos. You're always kaveh suda on chicken and meat and salads, yogurts, cheeses, whatever it is. Look at Rav Shlomo Zalman in source number 8. Misha kol yomos hashana eino nizan minei dagan klal. Nira, look at this incredible chumra, and this chumra is the shitase with Rav Shlomo Zalman. Dechashiva sudasa kfius kemura v'chay v'sukkah. That person who never has bread or never has cake, never has cookies, they only eat protein. Guess what? If he's going to have a steak, or he's going to have a grilled chicken salad, which is all he eats all year long anyway, he has to eat that in a sukkah. Chayev. That's his kvius. The kvius that we talk of in the Shulchan Aruch is a relative kvius, not an objective kvius. If for normal people, the kvius of a suda is with bread. But if there's someone who never eats bread all year long, his kvius is protein, so, and that's all he eats. So on sukkahs, he's not going to be able to eat a piece of chicken outside of the sukkah. Another chumra. Same idea as what we said a moment ago. If you drink a cup of water, but you're right next to your house, it's relative. Normally, you wouldn't drink it outside if you're right next to your house. You'd go inside because you're so close. So that would be obligated to be eaten in the sukkah. Those are two chumras of Rav Shlomo Zalman, both assuming the same underlying logic, that the concept of kvius is totally subjective to the person and the situation. And therefore, if in this situation, this person, where he is, would specifically eat this in their house, and this is their kvius, it would be chayav in a sukkah. Fine. Now, well, I'll end off with one point in source number 11. Obviously, when you have lunch, when you eat breakfast, you say leishev. You come back, you have lunch, you say another leishev. You come back, you have dinner, you say another leishev. Maybe you go to sleep in your sukkah, you have a little snack before you go to sleep, a little kibbutz of bread, of mezonos to be yotzi the suffix. There's a shayla if you are... I love this. I used to be, when I used to sleep in the sukkah sometimes, I was very frum. So there's a machlokas if you're supposed to say leisha just for sleeping in the sukkah. Mishabur says it's better to have kibbetza, you know, to only make the bracha if you have a kibbetza. So I was makpid to have a kibbetza of cookies right before I went to sleep in the sukkah so I could say my leishev on sleeping in the sukkah. So it's a good, I force myself to be machmer, yes. I like these kinds of chumras, right. It's like when I was in the mirror, there's a tzaddik of Yaakov Kaplan. His pay is down to his waist. He's a big tzaddik there. And I remember asking him once, on just 2 days ago, Erev Rosh, Yom Kippur. Of course, it's a mitzvah, perhaps Doraisa, to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. So I asked him once, it was the night before Erev Yom Kippur, it was like Leil Tshi'i Shei Yom Kippur. I asked him, is there that mitzvah of Achilas Erev Yom Kippur, is it only by day? Or did it start the night before as well? So he looked at me with a twinkle in his eye and said, "Machok zechronim, avo yesh lahachmir al zeh." This is a good one. So how come, when it comes to sukkah, you're going to make four brachas a day, four leishes a day, three leishes a day, two leishes a day, easy. How come by lulav, if you shake the lulav, you only would shake it once, and or even if you shook it in the afternoon, you wouldn't make another bracha? Where lies the difference between lulav?
Chiyuv is only once.
You're saying a good answer. Yeah. Say it. Yeah, okay.
The chiyuv is only once. So once you did it, you
yotze. As opposed to sukkah?
Every meal is a chiyuv.
So we have to just say that with a twist. Look at Tosus. You're right. Just the way you say it, you're going to have to say it. There's one chiyuv to live in a sukkah. One mitzvah yeshiva sukkah. Okay, but you're right. But look how Tosis says it. We'll finish with this point. Ain sukkah this Tosis in Masecha sukkah memheim and beis the last source. Ain sukkah lulav shavim lebracha. A lulav ain mevarich ela pamachas biyom. Lulav you do it just in the morning. Aval sukkah kol emes denechnas la kadei sheyocha v'yishta v'yashen. By the way, what do you see Tosis in Shita is that you would make a bracha for sleeping. I think something else. You know what else you see from Shita's Tosis? That's a gigantic machlokas in the Achronim. He said three words here. Yochal. He said Yashen. What else did he say? Yishta. He holds, smashing from this Tosis, that he holds that you should have, say a leisha basukkah, even on drinking wine in a sukkah. Which is a big machlokas. Mishabura has a long arichas. The halacha has an even longer arichas. Do you, if you just drink in a, just drink wine. Wine, only wine. No, that's not drinking. If you drink wine, no, it's not drinking. If you drink wine in a sukkah, does that require leishev? Right? It's a question that comes up by Havdalah. Do you have to say leishev by Havdalah? Right? You come home from shul, Saturday night or Yontif night, you make a Havdalah in the sukkah. So you're going to have a full cup of wine. Do you make a leishev there? So Allah Chalamayim said, we're not going to, but it's a big machloka. So you see from Tosis, two things. You see Yashen, you sleep, you make a bracha on its own, and Yishteh, you make a bracha on its own, not like we do, not like the Mishnah Berurah suggests we should do. Okay, continues Tosis. When it comes to a sukkah, anytime you go in, you to eat or to drink or to sleep, afil eser pe'amim b'yom, 10 times a day, mevarich hakol achas v'achas. You make a leisha on each and every time. Well, just like tefillin. If you would put on tefillin 4 times a day, guess what? You would make 4 brachas a day. If you put on tefillin a few times a day, you would make another bracha. We don't put on tefillin all day, so we don't. So what's the difference? How come by tefillin and by sukkah it's multiple times a day, but by lulav it's only once a day? So it's basically what the chazan said. Behind the time of the sukkah, the reason for sukkah is the following. And you'll see how he says a little different than you said it. Let's say there's a meal. You get a knock on the door, somebody brings over, you know, a meal with a whole, you know, a deli sandwich from traditions, a grilled chicken sandwich. Lo efshar lemeichel chutz l'sukkah. Even though you had breakfast and you had lunch, now they have this delivery for dinner, are you able to eat it out of a sukkah? No, since you can't eat it out of a sukkah, so that's mechayev you to go to the sukkah. If you now have a new chiyuv to go to the sukkah, well, say leishev on it. V'chein tefillin. You'll see the contrast in a moment. Kol hayom mitzvasan, shiyumunachem rosh v'zroh. Since the mitzvah is really, the chiyuv is there the whole day, so whenever you're putting it on, any time during the day, there's a mitzvah to do. And he brings a geshmak, a rai that we all know. What does the Gemara say? Famous last words when it comes to lulav. The moment you lift it up, you fulfilled your obligation. You have nothing else to do. You see from that lashon the Gemara Tosfos says that once you lifted it up, there's nothing else to do. There's no more mitzvah. So you can't obligate yourself to do it again, because the lashon of nafik bay means there's no longer an obligation. When it comes to tefillin, you're right. We put a tefillin in the morning. You and I don't put it on again. But actually, my son's bar mitzvah drasha was on this topic of the chiyuv to wear tefillin all day long. We might not do that, but there is a mitzvah. There is a ikur hadin to yes, wear tefillin all day long, we are, for whatever reasons, we're machmir, we're mekel not to do that. But the chiyuv is there the whole day. Sukkah, the chiyuv is there the whole day. By lulav, you have an explicit gemara. Mida agbe, what does the word nafik be mean? You left the chiyuv. You exempted yourself the chiyuv. There's no more chiyuv. So that's fundamentally the difference, which is what the Chazan said earlier, but you see Tosis presents it a little bit more.
If I do pick it up again.
No bracha for lulav. Lulav, no. You fulfill your obligation. You could. It's nice. It's a beautiful thing, right? The Antri Yerushalayim, the Gemara tells us, used to carry their lulav all day, wherever they went. And it's a beautiful thing. But it's not mitam chiv.
I mean, they carried out amir.
They carried out amir. That's what I mean, yeah. All day. But not mitam chiv. A tefillin you should be wearing all day, mitam chiv. We don't. But that's a side point. That's Hashem, we should all be zelchot to mekayim. Let's also sukkah and absorb the kedusha that sukkah offers. And we mekabel the guests, the shpizim that come to visit our sukkah and absorb all of their midos as we fulfill the mitzvah of sukkah. Thank you for bearing with us as we had to wait for our.